Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The fans rise here in Sunrise, Florida.
Back to back for the Cats.
15 seconds. Gustav Forsling holds. The Panthers begin to celebrate.
Oh, baby, that's how it sounded on TNT last night. Kenny Albert, Eddie Olczyk on the call. As the Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup title, as you just heard Kenny call, thanks to TNT. Even though we played the NHL on ESPN tune, I don't know if the NHL on TNT has a tune. I watch it all the time, and I, like, AMAC asked, I don't know if they have, like, one theme like ESPN has. I don't know. So, anyway, it's hockey music, and I'm more than happy to shine the light on my beloved puck. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. Nice to have you with us right here on a hot Wednesday afternoon in the nation's capital with storms a-coming, which certainly may affect some things later on tonight that we'll get into shortly. But, yes, indeed, the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup last night, and not who would have thought it, who would have thunk it, but did we really see it? Those of us that actually pay attention to the sport, those of us that don't let television ratings dictate what we watch and care about. Thanks to Kevin Sheehan, Coach Sheehan, for having me on earlier this morning. If you missed that, you can hit the rewind feature of the podcast on the Team 980, on the Odyssey app, the team980.com, or wherever you get your podcast, 1040 or so. I was on with Kevin to talk about the Stanley Cup Final and the Florida Panthers' ascent to or reascent to the hockey world. And obviously, we'll open up the show with it today. I just got over here late because I was hanging out with B. Mitch and Finley. They seem to think my show starts at 2. But they're wrong. It actually starts at 1. So I had to get over here, rush around, which is the price that you got to pay to be so famous, right? I mean, the price to be a wanted man. Mr. Steal Your Girl is just hard at work. I don't have any idea how AMAC came up with that stupid nickname.
I'm glad you're embracing it.
I'm not embracing it, but now they're calling me that thanks to you.
Thanks to me?
Yeah, thanks to you, who created this nickname that has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, sure.
You're creating a reputation for me that simply does not exist. Simply is not rooted in reality. It's just like those that believe television ratings alone should dictate what we care about and what we talk about. That is not rooted in reality. Watch a wonderful sport that came to a conclusion last night. And it wasn't the best series, I'll be honest. It wasn't as good of a series as I was hoping for it to be. I thought it was going to be an epic, epic, epic series because of the way it started. Game one, Florida up 3-1 in Edmonton. Edmonton storms back, ties it up late, win it, final minute of overtime to win game one. Double overtime Friday night, Brad Marchand on the breakaway. Florida wins game two. Then Florida wins game three rather easily. Then Edmonton scratches back and ties up the series at 2-2. And once again in overtime. And I'm thinking, oh man, we've got a great series. And it was through four games. And then game five and game six kind of suck. If I'm being honest, game five and game six kind of suck. Florida literally kicked the Edmonton Oilers in the teeth, in the gonads, in the ass, and then booted them out the door, and then stomped on their throat, just for good measure. And they beat up the damn Stanley Cup while they're at it. Did you see the Stanley Cup? My guy Alan Lepore sent me a picture. The Stanley Cup's got a tear in it at the top, and the bottom base of it is missed. Like, there's a part of the bottom base that's missing. Because they took this thing all over South Florida to the elbow room where a young rooster used to go, cock-a-doodle-doo, baby. And you want to talk about Mr. Steal Your Girl? I was trying to steal some girls at the elbow room on Fort Lauderdale Beach, baby. Back when I was 22 and I was young and in charge like some other people around here. You want to talk about Mr. Steal Your Girl? I used to try and steal plenty of girls at the elbow room where the Florida Panthers were partying until about 9 o'clock this morning.
See, I knew this wasn't coming. You said it came from nowhere. It had no basis. It wasn't
grounded.
It came
from nowhere from you, AMAC. Nowhere from you.
False.
You had no basis.
Yes, I did.
You had no evidence of this.
Yes, I do.
We've never discussed this. But it is true that a young rooster 30 years ago used to try and spread his wings. Used to try and finagle some things, some events, some activities to happen.
Hey, now.
At the elbow room on Fort Lauderdale Beach, where all the eye candy resides. Right? Where the Stanley Cup champions were partying early into this morning. Late into this morning. Hell. Right? And they ruined the Stanley Cup. They banged up the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup needs surgery. Oh, okay. Got a little bit of NFL breaking news, which we'll share with you in a sec. Looks like Lamar Jackson, the general manager, was right on. Was right on. We'll explain what we mean by that in a sec. But anyway, last night, after an epic start to the series, again, Florida just kicked the Edmonton Oilers' ass. Just destroyed them in the final two games. From minute one to minute the final minute and the final gun. 5-1 last night, 5-2 on Saturday night in Edmonton. And from the start, Edmonton had literally, it was like the Ron Rivera Washington football teamers or Commanders in 2023, where I mentioned this, I think, earlier this week. The games would start at 1:02 and they'd show up conveniently at like 2:20. And they'd be down 24-0 before you even knew what hit them. Right? Well, that was kind of like the Edmonton Oilers, the last two games of this series. Just absolutely nothing. Nothing from the start. Last night, Florida scores a beautiful goal from Bennett. Great move, turnover, right around the blue line, move through traffic, sprawling, diving, what have you. And they get on top 1-0 after Edmonton had actually come out hitting and trying to, like, take the body and get into the game and get into a flow and wear Florida down with physicality and be strong on the puck. And they're down 1-0. Not before you know it, but a couple of minutes in. 7-8 minutes in, whatever it was. And then they give up another goal to Tkachuk right before the end of the first period, in which they allow Tkachuk to just, I think my buddy Bernie in Rockville texted me, it's like, man, Connor McDavid's got to be better than that. And it was just all this free space that Tkachuk had. And it was 2-0, despite Edmonton playing reasonably well and controlling some part of that first period last night. But they still found themselves down 2-0. And Sam Reinhart scored ultimately 4 goals. The Oilers had to pull their goaltender, for those of you that weren't watching, down 3-0 with 7 minutes left to go in the game. They know if they don't score and tie up 3-3 and force overtime, their season's over. So they're taking, obviously, a huge gamble. They're not down 1. They're not down 2. They're down 3. But they're down 3-0, 7 minutes left to go, and within 30 seconds, Reinhart scores another empty net, or another goal, an empty netter. That's his 3rd of the night. Then he eventually would have his 4th of the night, and Florida obviously knew at that point that they were going to win the Stanley Cup. And Reinhart, again, finished with 11 goals in the postseason, with 4 last night, and 2 via empty net. So if you don't want to count them, you don't want to count them, whatever. The bottom line is, the first goal he scored was a backbreaker, because that was just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful play. And it's guys like Sam Reinhart that were cast off. For those that don't know, guys like Sam Reinhart that were cast off early in their career that have come on and been huge contributors to the Florida Panthers. Sam Reinhart was a top draft pick. He was 2nd overall. It's not like he doesn't have talent. But he was 2nd overall with the Buffalo Sabres in the 2014 draft. The Sabres couldn't develop him. The Sabres couldn't get anything out of him. It didn't work for whatever reason. Maybe it was because they have a horse crap franchise and organization. He was the 2nd overall pick, and it didn't work. But you know where it worked? With the Florida Panthers. I mean, like, look, sometimes we all understand sports. Things don't work out in your original home. And then you find a way to find whatever it is that you've been missing. I guess the example that I would throw here locally and with the Capitals is a guy like Brett Connolly, who was a part of the 2018 Stanley Cup championship team. Brett Connolly never turned out to be a great player by any stretch, but at one point he was like the number 6 overall pick, I think, for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then he went to Boston, or maybe it was for Boston, and then he went to Tampa Bay. I can't remember, one or the other. And then he came here, and nothing much was expected out of him, but he turned out to be a very, very, very key, critical player, third-line winger for a Stanley Cup championship contender first, and then a Stanley Cup champion winning team. Sometimes we all understand things don't exactly turn out. Reinhart, 4 goals last night, was traded by the Sabres after being their number 2 overall pick in the 2014 NHL draft. On July 24th, 2021, for a young goaltender, Devon Levi, who wound up playing at Northeastern, who I've seen actually play college hockey and a little bit in the NHL. I saw him at Fenway Park a couple of years ago play for Northeastern. And a 2022 first-round pick. You know what that trade sounds like and looks like now? Is basically the Paul George from Indiana to Oklahoma City is basically the Paul George from Oklahoma City to the LA Clippers that landed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's what it kind of looks right now. That's what it kind of looks like right now. Of course, there's differences. I get it. I'm not being crazy, but you get the point. You get the point, right? And last night, Reinhart won not only with the 4 goals, but wins the Conn Smythe as playoff MVP. And I think he's a free agent, if memory serves me correct. I got to double check that. Right? Right. Right. So good little nugget there. I didn't even see that. So, okay, right about what I thought about him being a free agent, but I didn't see what you saw. So he's the first player, AMAC, to win the Conn Smythe Trophy and then be a free agent that ensuing summer?
Yeah, win the Stanley Cup, the climax, whatever you call
Interesting.
That. Yeah, because I do hockey, so I know what
right.
you're saying.
Yeah.
But yes.
Let's do that hockey.
Yeah,
right?
Do that hockey.
You, good thing for you. You don't have to do that hockey for another couple of months, okay?
I mean, what do you mean?
I'm going to drag your ass to a Capitals game, and you are going to fall in love with the sport. And then I'm going to bring you to a Nationals game as soon as they stop losing every single game that they play in.
Honestly, I can get to a Capitals game. I cannot do a Nats game. Like
I am going to drag you kicking and screaming to a Nationals game.
It's not happening.
I'm going to literally drag you down half street.
Hockey seems like I will come clean. Hockey seems like an interesting sport. It's physical. It's fast.
Yeah. It's all of that. It's the best sport on earth.
They have the power plays.
I'm going to drag you down half street with your bougie salad and your fancy glasses, kicking and screaming and yelling at me about some stupid nickname. And I'm going to bring you into the center field gate as soon as the Nationals stop losing 40 games in a row.
Why do we have to go to a Nats game if we want to take a nap? You know, like we could take a nap once we get off of work, like right here at one of these desks.
There is a couch over there.
Yeah, there's a couch. Yeah.
So here's the deal. You should take a nap.
Me out to the ball you should,
it's not that weird. You should take a nap on the couch, and then I will drag you kicking and screaming to the center field gate of Nationals Park.
Nah.
And grab your bougie salad on the way.
Nah.
Okay. Anyway, Stanley Cup final in the books last night. Again, the series wasn't as good towards the end. The last two games kind of sucked and were dominant, one-sided. The first four games were really, 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 really good, and it kills the ratings and cable only. You'll hear a lot about that on all these awful announcings and front office sports and all this stuff. Listen, don't pay a lot of attention to it. First of all, as we know, TV ratings are based on a minuscule sample size, okay? It does not determine really anything. It's a barometer, and that's it. Last night was, I don't want to say awesome, but it was awesome if you like dominance. And that's what the Florida Panthers did the last two games of the series. They stepped on their throat, and they never let up. And guys like Sam Reinhart, who had failed elsewhere, turn out to be not only multi-time champions, but also Conn Smythe winners and free agents that are going to cash in and make big money. And oh, by the way, the guy he probably beat for the Conn Smythe, probably Brad Marchand, he's also a free agent. And he was a pain in the ass in a good way for the Florida Panthers and helped them win this series and won game two in double overtime out in Edmonton. All right, so that's how we wanted to open up the show. If you want to hop in, listen, I don't think the Capitals would have beaten the Florida Panthers. There are a lot of Capitals fans that were convinced that the Florida Panthers were or that the Capitals were the Florida Panthers' kryptonite. I'm not saying that they would have had no chance. I just don't think they would have had as good of a chance as many, and I think they would have lost probably a 6- or 7-game series. The way they were playing over the last month and a half or so of the season, Montreal included in that, because they won games that they probably shouldn't have won in that series. The way that they played was not good enough to beat anybody of any high-end quality. I do not think they would have beaten Florida. Would they have maybe a better chance against Florida than Carolina? Perhaps. I don't buy this theory, this notion that they would have beaten Florida. What? Based on the regular season? Really? I mean, I can dispute that from now until cows fly. They would not have beaten the Florida Panthers, who are the Stanley Cup champions. 121, just getting rocking and rolling on the Team 980. And the Odyssey app, and wherever you get your podcasts, if you're listening to us on delay or on your own time, and we appreciate you either way, we will come back and we will get into Mike Rizzo on with the Junks this morning here on the Team 980 and multiple other outlets at the same time, and what he had to say about the you-know-what storm that his manager started on Saturday and has not really gone anywhere since then, including a couple of more embarrassing home losses to terrible baseball teams. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Martov, Draisaitl works it back. Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal, nice move. Close to the net, scores!
All right, once again, that was Kenny Albert on TNT last night as the Florida Panthers again win the Stanley Cup. And look, we're only going to talk hockey for a little bit. I know my place. I get it. I understand. Here's the deal, though. I don't think we should ignore greatness. And you win 2 Stanley Cups, and that's great. And, oh, by the way, Kevin asked me about this morning, and maybe I didn't answer it the right way. I don't know. I got a tweet from somebody. There is hockey is a series of mini dynastic success, right? The Florida Panthers have now won 2 Stanley Cups in a row, made it to the Stanley Cup final the year before that. The Tampa Bay Lightning won 2 Stanley Cup titles in a row, made it to the Stanley Cup final against Colorado the third year. Pittsburgh obviously won back-to-back Stanley Cups before being dethroned by the Capitals in 2018 in the second round. Edmonton, the Islanders, Edmonton winning 2, then taking a year off, winning another 2, then taking another year off and winning 1. It's not exactly all in a row, but you get the point. The Islanders won 4 in a row. The Red Wings won a couple in a row. The Penguins only won the 1, but they had been in Game 7 of the final the year before. They won and lost to Detroit, who, again, repeated as champions. So the sport definitely is a little bit different in that regard, I guess, than most sports and seemingly how they're played out right here and right now. Now, I mentioned something that's probably going to ruffle some feathers, and that's fine. It is what it is. The Capitals dominated the Florida Panthers in the regular season, 3-0. They dominated them. They won once early in, I think, November, I want to say, in Florida. And I think both wins, I know I was at one of the wins, in which they scored 6 goals in the first 25 minutes or so. But that was a Florida Panther team. That was the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, so mid-March. It was a Saturday afternoon, 5 o'clock start. They did not have Matthew Tkachuk. Keith Tkachuk, dad. Brady Tkachuk, brother. Ottawa. Matthew Tkachuk. They did not have Brad Marchand. Injured. They had traded for him. Injured. And they had Vitek Vanacek, who some Capitals fans might remember. So I completely dismissed that game. Yes, the Capitals beat the Florida Panthers 2 other times in the series. But I've said this a million times, and I'll say it until I'm old and cold. The regular season is not how you judge what a team is. It is not the same thing. The Capitals ran away with the East and never looked really good, really sustainably good in any of their playoff games. Maybe one. Maybe one. Game two against Carolina. And even that was spotty. But they ran away with the East. Now, again, we know regular season doesn't always dictate postseason success. We got it. Regular season struggles doesn't always prevent a team from getting right at the right time. But this notion that the Capitals would have been able to beat the Florida Panthers in a seven-game playoff series, Eastern Finals, second round, whatever. Oh, the Carolina Hurricanes are their kryptonite. But if they just would have drawn the Florida Panthers, man, they would have been cruising. Not true. Not in any way, shape, or form, baby. The Florida Panthers, the team that just won a second consecutive Stanley Cup, this is not to criticize the Capitals. They're better. They're deeper. And here's the other thing. Their players, whether you know about them or not, I do. Their players step up and elevate their game when they absolutely need it the most. They may not be a juggernaut for 82 regular season games. They elevate when they have to elevate in the postseason. And that's something the Capitals have not been able to do by and large outside of 1 year. And it's hard to do. But I challenge anybody that knows anything about hockey to sit here and say, nope, the Capitals do exactly the same thing as the Florida Panthers have done the last 2 years. Because that's not true. That's not true. The Florida Panthers elevate their game to extremes. Offensively, defensively, in the pipes. Power play, shorthanded. Coaching. Leadership in every way, in overtime, on the road, at home. They don't mess around. They don't play around. And maybe this comes off as a criticism of the Capitals, and if it is, so be it. You know what? Step up. Elevate your game. It's not time to get one goal in a six-game. No. Find a way to bury the biscuit in the basket. Do better. Play harder. Play smarter. Get the puck out of your zone. Kill off a penalty. Score on the power play. Win on the road. These are all things that, you know, unfortunately, the Capitals fell short of. So this notion that they would have just beaten the Florida Panthers if they had only gotten them instead of the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm sorry, I don't buy. Would they have had maybe a better chance? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe they would have lost in six. Maybe they would have lost in seven. I don't know. They would not have beaten the Florida Panthers. They would not have beaten the Florida Panthers. All right. Let's save Bernie for the other side because it's going to need a little bit more time. I don't want to get like super far behind because I think actually Bernie's got a different opinion than me. And he really knows his hockey, so I want to give him a fair chance without the clock being a major factor. But anyway, that's just my point of view. I get it how I can be told that I'm wrong just based on the regular season and maybe styles and matchups and whatever. I don't buy it, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. More on that after a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, indeed, the Florida Panthers have won a second consecutive Stanley Cup championship last night in Sunrise, Florida. They partied all night, winding up in Fort Lauderdale at the famous Elbow Room, denting the Stanley Cup, ripping up a part of it. Ugh. But they've won a second consecutive Stanley Cup championship last night, eliminating the Edmonton Oilers in six games. So meanwhile, the NBA Finals resumes tomorrow night, game six of that series. 3-2 is the series lead for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They will be in Indianapolis to try and eliminate and end the season of the Indiana Pacers and win their first ever NBA franchise. The breaking NFL news that we told you about just a little while ago, Jaire Alexander is signing with the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year deal. He and Lamar Jackson, both from Louisville, were both played their college ball at Louisville, and Lamar Jackson said yesterday on the record that he wanted his general manager to go out and sign him. Well, things got done pretty quickly. A one-year base value of $4 million with an additional $2 million in incentives. And that's what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, we'll do a little bit more of that hockey, and then we'll put it to bed. At least until free agency, a little bit on the draft, when that comes up. But obviously, I love it. Doesn't mean everybody else loves it. And, you know, I try and do the show for everybody, not just for me. All right, so before we put a lid on that, let's get out to our guy, Bernie in Rockville, who knows very much a lot more about hockey than certainly I do and that most do. And, Bern, I imagine you're going to take a little umbrage with what I was saying, that I didn't think the Capitals were going to be able to beat the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But go right ahead. How are you, pal?
Well, first of all, I'm going to take the umbrage of Mother Nature. I'm driving my ARC right now in the 40 days and 40 nights of hellacious rain in Rockville right now.
Mm. So it's coming down?
It's coming your way. Yeah.
All right. I knew it was coming this way. I just didn't realize it was already taking its toll. But, yeah, I've heard and seen the forecast, and it's going to be for an interesting crowd tonight at Nats Park, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I think your presence is lightening up the rain. Got a little thunder and lightning, but the rain is starting to taper off a little bit. So it's one of those passing beautiful summer storms we're all accustomed to in D.C. First of all, before we get into the little debate that we might have, congratulations to Nate Schmidt and Vitek Vanacek, especially Schmidty, especially being picked off of our roster to go to Vegas in expansion draft right before we won it, beating him, obviously, and then getting traded to Winnipeg the year Vegas won it.
Yeah, and it was just so cool to see him be the first guy that got the cup of the first-time winners from Barkov last night. I was very happy for him.
Absolutely. Him and Seth Jones were my two that I was thinking was going to get it first.
Yeah, and I think Seth Jones got it second after after Nate Schmidt, if memory serves me correct. But Nate Schmidt got it first from Barkov.
Yep. I think Vitek got it third or fourth.
Yeah.
So he got
and obviously when you win two in a row, right, you can kind of script this stuff out and plan this stuff out a little bit better. When you've won it for the first time as a franchise last year, first time as a player, I think it's a little bit more traditional in line like the Capitals did it, where it was Ovi, of course, getting it as the captain, to Backe, and then I forget who was third. I can't remember. Maybe I can't remember who was third. But
I think they went to Orpik, which was surprising.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Because of what he meant to the team.
You're right. I think you're right on that. But anyway, when you win it for the first time, you could, you know, you do it a little bit more traditionally and a little bit more in line. Last night, they made sure that all of the guys that were first-time winners of the Stanley Cup that were not there last year, that contributed in some way, shape, or form, got to hoist the Stanley Cup before all the returning players that were already defending Stanley Cup champions. So I thought that was cool.
Absolutely. And just have an architect like Bill Zito, Columbus is kicking themselves right now because they had him in their house before he went down to Florida. Being able to bring in a guy like Paul Maurice, who's been a very long-tenured coach. I think I heard he was the first coach in any of the four major sports to have been coaching 25 years in the league and then finally win back-to-back title, two more than one championship in their sport. So that's but Paul Maurice is definitely my favorite coach outside of Carbs right now, with his candor, his press conferences, and the way he just coaches the team and the way they play, where it's just, if there's not a play, just chip it out. If there's not a play in the neutral zone, put it in a spot where you have a player going to the puck. It's just the little things they got a PhD in.
You know,
and that's how you beat a team like Edmonton with two otherworldly players like McDavid and Dreisaitl on it.
Right. And you hold McDavid to one goal with several overtime games. I mean, they played essentially a seven-game series because of the overtimes and held them to one goal.
Yep, they missed Zach Hyman a lot. He was a force in those first 2.5 rounds.
No doubt.
And he got hurt in the Dallas series.
No doubt.
That was a crippling loss.
All right, real quickly, what do you think about my assertion? Because I'm pretty sure you felt opposite going at least into the playoffs or into that second round or after that second round. What do you think now that you've seen Florida fully healthy and climb the mountain again?
When I looked at it from a whole landscape, I thought that the Capitals were the one team in the Eastern Conference that could match up and potentially beat Florida, just the way their styles, the way that they have the size and everything. But would they have beaten them? Probably, especially without Ferravari, that would have been a humongous mountain to climb because of the pressure they put on the D, and you have to be smart with the puck. I mean, you have a veteran like Mattias Ekholm throwing the puck at Bouchard's ankles, which led to the first Reinhardt goal. Bouchard reminds me a lot of Mike Green sometimes. He's tremendous offensively, but sometimes he coughs it up defensively. But he's young and he's tremendously talented. But you have so much pressure coming at you from Florida and the Marchand deal. I mean, the Caps played Bob one game, Vitek one game, and Spencer Knight one game, and they averaged, they had 17 goals in three games.
Right.
So they did play a very good strand of hockey. I think that our style of hockey would have matched Florida's hockey. The X factors would have been the Sam Bennett. The Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, and Matthew Tkachuk outplay your Alexi Protas, your Tom Wilson, and your PLD, because those are the guys that are going to be in the trenches, in the grind. Your skilled players like your Reinhardts and Barkovs with Ovi and Strome and McMichael balance out to a point. But, I mean, you have everything. You have a 200-foot game with Barkov and Reinhardt. I could see Sam Reinhardt and Tom Wilson being the top penalty kill for Team Canada next year in the Olympics. That's how good both of them are. But then you add the X factors, and to see Brad Marchand and Roberto Luongo together in the same organization, going to be next to each other in the Cup after 14 years ago, having such a battle in Boston and Vancouver. It tells you how hockey is so cyclical, but it's such beauty in the same aspect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well said. Appreciate you as always, Byrne. I got to let you run because we're up against it, but good to hear from you. I do agree that probably Washington had a matched up a little bit better than Florida, but I don't think they would have won that series, especially Florida healthy. Now, if you gave me no Tkachuk, no Marchand, like they did in that mid-March meeting that I keep mentioning, they scored 6 goals in the first 24 minutes of the game against Vitek Vanacek, a little bit different. Again, Capitals were still playing pretty good at that point before basically falling off the face of the earth. Falling off the face of the earth is tough, but really kind of struggling down the stretch and even into the playoffs, and didn't play well against Montreal despite winning that series. They did not play well against Montreal, in my opinion. And they certainly did not play well in any way against Carolina. I just, like, again, be careful about what you read and what you hear and what you see about regular season statistics being the end-all be-all. You know, like, you hear the term back of the baseball card. Well, back of the baseball card. Sometimes things change. Oftentimes things change. And with the Florida Panthers, health helped change a lot of things that were maybe ailing them, literally and figuratively. But it also regalvanized them. It strengthened them. And it's hard to win games without two of your best players. Marchand, who they got at the trade deadline from Boston, and who had spent, you know, again, a long, long, long time being a nuisance to everybody with the Bruins. And remember, they made, for those that don't pay attention, they made a huge trade Florida a couple of years ago to get Tkachuk from Calgary for Jonathan Huberdeau, who was one of, I think he was 1-1 overall, and was a stalwart of their franchise and had led kind of the start of this resurgence, and they traded him for Tkachuk. And all it's done is land them in the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row and now hoisting the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row. Where it'll go from here, don't know. All right, we'll put that to bed for right now. When we return, yeah, we mentioned, and before we get to the Nationals disaster, a word or two on Jair Alexander signing with the Baltimore Ravens or agreeing to terms with the Baltimore Ravens. We'll have some more details on that coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Third and five, four-man rush. Prescott fires for Crooks, and it's intercepted. Jair Alexander, he's got it, up on his feet, racing to the end zone, and he's in. Touchdown, Green.
All right, Jair Alexander with the pick six there, as you just heard. Good job by AMAC turning that around quickly. Well done. Not bad. Not bad. Attaboy, AMAC.
You went from well done to not bad. You had to rein yourself back to keep me humble.
I said attaboy. I mean, you know, what would you like me to do? I mean, throw a parade?
I mean, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're throwing parades for anything nowadays.
Yeah. It's fair. That's fair. That's a fair and honest evaluation, especially on Saturday evenings in the nation's capital. But anyway, Jair Alexander agreeing to terms with the Baltimore Ravens. We gave you some of the details. Apparently 1 year, $4 million base, a couple million in incentives. I don't care about any of that stuff for the most part. It is what it is. I mean, maybe that's a little bit low. Maybe that's a little bit high for a guy who's only played in seven games in each of the last 2 years. The bottom line is the Ravens know that he cannot probably be counted on, never mind to play the whole season, but he might not be able to be counted on to play 10 games or 12 games or whatever it might be. What you hope is if he's going to miss 8 or 9 games that they're during the regular season and not during the postseason, but, I mean, hard to control that, just like it is with Marshawn Lattimore, right? This is a similar situation is what I would say. Not exactly the same carbon copy, but a similar situation to Marshawn Lattimore. You've got a very talented veteran corner who has been a big-time playmaker who literally cannot stay on the field. And that was a problem for Lattimore before the Commanders traded for him. It was a problem right after they traded for him. It was a problem after they got him back on the field, and then he got re-injured again. It was a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem. And it's the same thing for Jair Alexander. They can play, man. When they're on the field, when they're healthy, when they're right, they can play, flat out. That being said, the Ravens have now, according to Adam Schefter, right, their secondary looks like this. Jair Alexander, Marlon Humphrey, and Nate Wiggins, former recent first-round pick. Chidobe Awuzie is one of their other corners. I think he'll be their nickel, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks are their two starting safeties, or at least their two projected starting safeties. And the Baltimore Ravens right now are in a division, of course, where you have, look, you have DK Metcalf in terms of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have whatever Cleveland is, but they've got Jerry Jeudy, right? I don't have a quarterback, but they have that. And, of course, Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And that's probably real, like, what? Hey, match up with these guys. Got to have more than what we had before this morning, right? So, and then when your quarterback goes out and my buddy, the Birdman, sent me this yesterday afternoon, so I just want to pull it up. He sent it to me. Let me see here. Where is it? that Lamar Jackson was, okay, here it is. Go get him, Eric, meaning to Eric DaCosta, right? And Jair Alexander, obviously, was very close with Lamar Jackson at Louisville. They remain friends. Everything seems to be on the up and up. He's advocated for him to sign out. He said, go get him, Eric. Look, Eric DaCosta said, A, it's a need position, and B, it would make my quarterback happy, and C, it might win us an extra playoff game. Who knows, right? The Baltimore Ravens demolished the Pittsburgh Steelers in the postseason opening round last year and then came up short in Buffalo. Maybe, just maybe, if they had Jair Alexander, they would have figured out a way to win that game. Probably not because of what happened and how it played out, but maybe, maybe. So now you've got two recent former first-round picks as your starting safeties in Hamilton and Starks. Starks was just this year. Now you have Jair Alexander, who, again, can probably not be relied upon to play more than 9 or 10 games at max. Marlon Humphrey, another former first-round pick. And Nate Wiggins, who was their first-round pick in 2024. So in the last couple of years, the Baltimore Ravens have gone Kyle Hamilton, first-round pick in 22. Nate Wiggins, first-round pick out of Clemson in 24. Marlon Humphrey, Malachi Starks, first-round safety out of Georgia in 25. So three out of the last 4 years, they've gone secondary, defensive back, first round. Plus, Marlon Humphrey was a first-rounder, for whatever that's worth, in 2017, a long time ago. That's a lot of resources invested in there. You know what? When you got to go against Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, whatever the Steelers, now Aaron Rodgers, presumably for a full year, whatever the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation is, when you got to do that, you kind of build your team to not only try and win, but also to try and defend against the kryptonite that potentially could end your season, or the powers that be that could end your season. So I think this is a good move for the Baltimore Ravens, even if it doesn't work out health-wise. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we continue along hour number two straight ahead. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.